Isn't this a sports show?
My whole breathing situation is not ideal right now, but I'm a warrior.
Almost entirely.
I will prevail slash overcome, but I also will complain about it. That's kind of my MO.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Who would you have casted to play you on the Almost Entirely Sports live stream?
Josh Hutcherson from that's, Hunger Games.
That's pretty solid.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
What about you? Do you have one?
James Earl Jones.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
There's a lot of stupid things I'd do for good retweets.
On ESPN Kansas City.
All right, so I think we're at a point now where everyone has made the same joke about having a burner Twitter account because the story is now, like, I don't know, like 12 hours old. 16, 18 hours old, maybe. So I'm not going to come in firing off jokes about burner Twitter accounts. But I will say this story is incredible. This is Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. That should be obvious to you by this point. I'm Josh Briscoe. Beers McFly is here all the time. And I have this story. I have Udoka Azubuike coming back. I have a conversation about Eric Fisher. And I have a radio hangover. Not a normal hangover. I don't have one of those today. I think I have a radio hangover. I went and got myself a big drink from Sonic that I'm now going through the second time through. I've got, like, cough drops in my bag, per usual, just in case I blow a tire. I did 7 hours of live radio yesterday. Even counting the fact that conversation with Kent, I double-dipped on. And last night was a fever dream in the best possible way. So yesterday I did this show and then went over and did Sports Night. And we did like a 4.5 hour Sports Night, which is a show that's usually 3 hours because the Royals started 30 minutes late and then went into 14 innings. And so if you enjoy this show, I would really encourage you to go listen to the last hour of Sports Night from last night. Hour 4.5 to 5.5 or whatever. Because at the 11 o'clock hour of Sports Night, which is never that's not a thing. There is no 11 o'clock hour. There is no 11 o'clock hour of Sports Night. But there was last night, and the entire 11 o'clock hour of Sports Night last night, we just did relationship advice. And it was really enjoyable. I was having a lovely time. I was standing for that whole hour for some reason. And then we were just... The Royals were extremely close to being rained out again. And so it was Alcides Escobar or, in all likelihood, another like 30-minute rain delay. At least 30 minutes. And Escobar came up with two outs and then hit a walk-off home run. His second homer of the season. And in that moment, everything was perfect and life was beautiful. So I would encourage you to go to listen to that podcast at hour if you're interested in how this show usually goes. It was a wonderful time. I'll be back over on Sports on Friday. That's the only other Sports Night this week, though. So the burner Twitter account story, you've probably heard about at this point. The Ringer had this report first, the curious case of Brian Colangelo and the secret Twitter account. And it's a whole bunch of what I think you can call circumstantial evidence about Brian Colangelo likely operating at least 5 separate Twitter accounts that are not obviously associated with him. And the actual details of the story are amazing. We may read the internet and give you that story here in a minute. Not yet, though. First, I want to the burner Twitter account thing is a bunch of Twitter accounts, you know, Eric Jr. and Phila 1234567 and like Ball is Life 74 or whatever. These are the accounts that Brian Colangelo appears to have allegedly been running this whole time, which is, again, an incredible story.
I think he admitted to running one of them, but it didn't. But he never tweeted out of it or something.
You're right. And then, but whenever he was confronted about one of them, then the rest of them went private. And that's the real smoking gun, I think, on these all being his, is the Sixers asked him about like these two accounts, and then all five went private that same day. And the Sixers said they only talked to Colangelo about it. So that is fun. And again, and some of it was, there was a thing about a player not, he tweeted a reporter, say, hey, ask if this guy cleared his physical, which is a real betrayal of trust. There was a tweet about him wanting to get on a medium-sized ladder and smack Joel Embiid in the head. That's something that your president of basketball operations probably shouldn't say on Twitter. There was a tweet about how Markelle Fultz's like mentor or whatever was ruining him. Really weird. But with some help from at Cardi Veach on Twitter, my favorite Twitter influence that I've ever had was bringing that nickname into the world. Thanks to at Cardi Veach on Twitter, I think we can. I think we have a mystery on our hands that we're going to solve today. There, it was pointed out to me from Matt Cardi Veach that back in the Anthony Hitchens introductory press conference, it was discussed that Brett Veach was on Twitter. He does not have a public Twitter. This does not exist. So now the journey begins. What is the information we have? What can we deduce here? Now, Beards, I'm going to need you to play this audio. This is a clip from the Anthony Hitchens introductory press conference. Andy Reid mentions that a bunch of Cowboys players were talking about how upset they were to lose Anthony Hitchens as a teammate. And then he is asked by a reporter if he has Twitter. Here is what I would call the smoking gun. Listen to this, about 30 seconds. Listen to how Andy Reid responds to a question here after he talks about Twitter a little bit. Go ahead and hear the clip.
I'm sure you guys read the tweets from his teammates at Dallas and how they spoke of him and how much they'll miss him there and so on. And it was all about this guy's a tremendous human being and a tremendous player. And so Brett's tried to bring that into our football team here.
Are you on Twitter now?
No, but Veach is. he coaches me up on it.
Are you going to get on it?
Probably not.
And then just to add to Coach, in addition, you know, I think as a staff at the end of the season, when we do our full evaluation of offense, defense, when we look at the defense and...
Did you hear how, wow, Brett Veach really wanted to get away from that quick? Well, listen, guys, let me, what Coach said, actually, I, one more time, Beards, this time can you go ahead and cut to the juice there? Could you get off your phone for two dang seconds, you millennial? The question here about Twitter, can you start it there on the reporter's question about Twitter and then Andy Reid's response to it and then get a little bit of Brett Veach there? Go ahead.
Yeah, give me one sec.
All right, here you go.
Are you on Twitter now?
No, but Veach is. he coaches me up on it.
Yeah. Tries to jump in.
Probably not.
And then just to add.
Then just to, you know, just to go, coach, just to, yeah.
In addition.
You can, that's it. That was right there. That's the money. That's the money right there. That's the smoking gun. So Brett Veach does not have a public Twitter, but he is on Twitter. That's step one. Now I'd like to propose an option here for step two. Now this is a bit speculative, so you know, wrap this aluminum foil around your head. Let's get ready for a conspiracy theory here. There is a Twitter account with the name Brett Veach, at Veach Brett, located in Kansas City, Missouri, that is private and has pictures of the Kansas City skyline as its avatar and cover photo. And I would like to propose that this is Brett Veach's Twitter account.
Whoa!
I know that I'm playing pretty fast and loose with the rules here. But I'm going to say that this protected Brett Veach at Veach Brett Twitter account that I have requested to follow, but only has one follower, I'm going to guess that this is the account. I really just want to see, the account has two tweets and 19 likes, one follower, and is following 267 people. I would like to know the details of that.
Who the one is?
Like, it's probably like Chiefs PR. I wonder if we could find that in Chiefs PR. That's my best bet. We'll continue doing this detective work. All that to say, the difference here is that Brett Veach isn't tweeting about wanting to hit his players on the head.
Publicly.
This is the way to do it. And so, like, I had a... I did have someone tell me that they knew of another high-ranking sports official who was using Twitter and then did not have a public Twitter account. This is not a Chiefs person. This is completely unrelated. But another story that I saw that was connected with. And I imagine that most high-ranking sports officials have Twitter accounts without their real names on them or that are protected like Brett Veach's that has two tweets ever. I imagine that that's really commonplace. So you're keeping an eye on the things going on around you. That's totally reasonable. I imagine that most people are in that camp. But the Kevin Durant, Brian Colangelo burner account scenario, that is next level spicy. That is that good stuff. So again, not exceptional that someone may be on Twitter without being themselves on Twitter. Is next level exceptional to be using it the way that that Brian Colangelo was. Beards, can we read the internet? I want to give everyone the proper context for exactly what the Ringer dug up here.
And now Josh reads the internet.
A collection of Twitter accounts that has criticized Joel Embiid and Markelle Fultz to close sensitive information and outline team strategy shares eye-opening similarities. What does that have to do with the Philadelphia 76ers decision maker? By Ben Dietrich on The Ringer. In February, The Ringer received an anonymous tip that Brian Colangelo, the Philadelphia 76ers president of basketball operations, had been secretly operating 5 Twitter accounts. Since then, we have scrutinized and archived those accounts in an attempt to verify the source's claims that the longtime NBA executive has been using them as a platform to criticize NBA players, including Joel Embiid, Jahlil Okafor, and Nerlens Noel, publicly debate the decisions of his own coaching staff, as well as critique former Sixers general manager Sam Hinkie and Toronto Raptors president Masai Ujiri. Ujiri. Almost got it that time. Telegraphed the 2017 trade in which the Sixers acquired the number 1 overall pick that would become Markelle Fultz, and disclosed non-public medical information about Okafor and gossip about Embiid and Fultz to members of the national and Philadelphia media. The guy tweeted out here about tweeted to a reporter asking Jahlil Okafor if he passed the other team's physical in a trade. The 5 accounts pinpointed by the unnamed sources included one that followed media members, Sixers employees, and NBA agents, but never tweets, and 4 that have posted tweets or replied to other users. Of those, one was active between April 2016 and May 2017. 2 were active within the past 5 months, and 1 was posting several times a day, as recently as last week. On Tuesday, May 22nd, I emailed the Sixers and shared the names of 2 of the accounts. I did not disclose our suspicions about the other 3 accounts, one of which, Still Balling, had been active earlier that day. I did this to see whether the partial disclosure would trigger any changes to the other accounts. On a follow-up call that day, Philadelphia's media representative told me that he would ask Colangelo whether he had any information about the 2 accounts. That afternoon, within hours of the call, all 3 of the accounts I hadn't discussed with the team switched from public to private, effectively taking them offline, including one that hadn't been active since December. The Still Balling account, which had been tweeting daily, has not posted since the morning of the 22nd. Since I contacted the Sixers, Still Balling has unfollowed 37 accounts with ties to Colangelo, including, wait for this, this sentence is so good, including several of his son's college basketball teammates, a former coach from his son's high school, and an account that shares the same name as the agent Warren Legarry, who has represented Colangelo in the past. Later that day, the Sixers rep called back. He confirmed that one of the accounts, at Phila1234567, did in fact belong to Colangelo. He said that Colangelo denied any knowledge of the Eric Jr. account, another one of the accounts. When I asked whether he had discussed my inquiry with anyone else in the organization that afternoon, he said that he had spoken to only one person, Colangelo. There's a little bit of the discussion of another email, and then there was the person that tipped them. There was a tweet from Enough Known Sources, one of his burner accounts, allegedly, that was defending Colangelo's choice in extremely high shirt collars, which is amazing. The source is discussed here, anonymously, showing that, quote, they all have a pattern of likes, follows, and tweets which are extraordinarily similar. For example, the source explained, all five follow accounts tied to Sixers players, members of the Philly front office, and beat reporters who cover the team, Toronto Raptors writers, Canadian high school basketball, and University of Chicago basketball. They discuss the same topics, use strikingly similar phrasing, and at times have tweeted out identical media images. Some of those shared attributes were odd, such as the distaste for beards and, quote, unknown sources. According to the source's findings, the three newest accounts followed 75 accounts in common, roughly half of their total respective follows, with another 52 accounts followed by two of the three. The writer goes on to discuss how he was skeptical, and then posts about the executive's well-known, documented sartorial preference about collars. Talking about shirt collars here. You ran out of music.
I did. I didn't even realize I was getting close to the end.
Rest in peace, reading the internet music. It's okay. I think I'm done reading the actual internet. This story is awesome.
It's so Sixers. No, it's Kings. It's so
Kings. It's not so, really so Sixers.
It is
so NBA.
Yes, that's fair.
I love.
It's like the Kings just switched places with the Sixers.
It's just so NBA. And I love it so much. Again, the tweets about Jahlil Okafor, about Nerlens Noel, Joel Embiid, who was tweeting off the chain last night. Joel Embiid was so good on Twitter last night. He did say, though, that Colangelo called him and denied these tweets being from him, which is the only thing Colangelo could have done, because if these tweets do end up being, like if he said, yep, that was me, I screwed up, he would have to be fired. And he still may be. He so very well could be fired for this. Because how can you be Markelle Fultz or Joel Embiid and play for this dude? It would be tremendously difficult. And the whole thing is just so rich. I think the next question becomes, who was the source? Sam Hinkie has a lot of free time. I know he's like doing some consulting with the Broncos right now. But this anonymous source combing through Twitter, finding all of this. Maybe part of the process was eventually getting that job back. How about that? Bring back Sam Hinkie. Bring back the process. How did you digest this story, Beards? This feels like something that I would hope that you were deeply in love with as it was happening.
Out of all of the NBA stories that have been very weird that happened this year,
mm-hmm.
It's probably second.
Behind?
The Clippers-Rockets tunnel feud.
Okay, so I don't think that's weirder. That story might be the most amazing, but it's not quite as bizarre as a GM, whatever, director, of
sure.
whatever. As a GM, having 5 burner accounts to defend himself against Twitter eggs.
That's just funny.
It's all funny.
Yes.
All of it is funny and fantastic.
But it didn't make me lose my mind in the same way that the Clippers Rockets tunnel Pink Panther mission was.
That's fair. I'm okay with that.
I had a lot more fun with that on Twitter than I did this.
Fine.
It's still really good. It was really funny.
It's amazing.
It is.
And
there
was
really
that,
good.
There was that bracket a while ago.
Of all the weird stuff that had happened.
Of all of the weirdest things that had happened in
this NBA season.
In the last NBA year. This has to be a 1 seed, right? Isn't this weirder than Durant having burner accounts? This dude's 50-something. He's a GM. He's defending his GM choices on Twitter. That's even weirder than an NBA player doing it.
Probably, yeah.
Do you remember, was it the Ringer that did that also?
I don't remember. I don't remember who did that. It's really annoying because I can't
see if I can find
that.
It.
We tried to find that again recently, but I
can't. SB Nation, SB Nation. No. Dang it.
Let's see.
NBA, what was the phrasing they used? It's on Twitter. Like, we tweeted about it a bunch. Also, you know what you could do, Beards, if you want to comb through Twitter? You could look for interactions between you, me, Seth Kaiser, and Kent Swanson, because all of us are tweeting about it, and Seth was tweeting about it. He doesn't care about basketball, and you, me, and Kent
are geeking
out about it. That might be our solution. It's either SB Nation or The Ringer, I think.
I got it.
Well, where was it?
In Twitter, I just typed in NBA Moments bracket. It's M. Ellen Tuck on Twitter, at M. Ellen Tuck. It's here's the NBA Most Ridiculous Moments of the 2018 season.
Ridiculous Moments is the phrase? There we go. Okay, got it.
The 1 seeds were LeBron calls Trump a bum, Fergie's national anthem, Markel forgets how to shoot, and KD's burner.
I think this is weirder than Katie's burner.
Yeah.
You're right. Matt Ellen Tuck tweeted it out, and it's got SB Nation branding. Maybe, is he an SB Nation guy? Yeah, he works for the SB Nation, and it's on his account. So.
Okay.
Although now I've lost it, so that's super cool. I wonder if the burner Twitter thing. See, having Durant be one example, and then having Colangelo be the other is weird, because I would have thought it would have been a generational thing where, like, younger generation, like millennials, I think, are more likely to just, like, go out and just straight up defend ourselves on Twitter and just not be quite so worried about looking like you're too sensitive or whatever. But. If you are trying to defend yourself, but also quietly, then there we go. It is an SB Nation thing. I'm going to find the story.
Okay.
If you do it quietly, then maybe that's something that you do whenever you're trying to protect yourself as an older dude. That does not appear to be the case here. Okay. The bracket is up on SB Nation. The 64 best moments of an utterly absurd 2017-18 NBA season. So we have to figure out where does this get seeded. The number one overall seed in this was Katie's burner accounts.
That feels really high.
It doesn't. That's crazy. That was the first foray most of us had into public burner accounts. LeBron calling Trump a bum was a pretty big deal. Markel Fultz
forgetting
how to
shoot
is pretty crazy.
It's amazing. And then Fergie's anthem is definitely a one.
See, I actually disagree.
Fergie's
anthem. It was terrible.
Exactly. It was amazing. It was incredible how bad that was.
Oh, no. You're not going to get me to disagree with that. but I'm going to have to save this and open it as its own thing because the file
I did save it.
The file is so gigantic, and I can't get it to fit to my screen.
Also, the fact that Rockets Clippers Tunnel Feud is only number is a 2 seed in this is really disrespectful.
Okay, I'm saving it to my Google Drive also, so I will just have this for the rest of time.
Yeah, I saved it to my phone.
I just want it to fit to my bleeping screen. Okay, close enough. The Uncle Drew movie being an 8 seed is also pretty wild.
Wait a second. The Uncle Drew movie?
Mm-hmm.
I'm very tempted to go see that.
You're going to go see it.
I know. Just
just go see it.
I hate the fact that I want to see it, but I want to see it just to see how bad it's going to be. Also, is the Kawhi thing on here at all? Because that feels like it should be a 1 seed now.
Probably. Also, Portis and Mirotić becoming an incredible duo as an 8 seed, and then Barrett going up against Baron Davis and Laura Dern as a 9 seed is ridiculous. J.R. Smith throwing soup and an assistant coach
that
is a 5.
Amazing.
That's a 5.
Kentavious Caldwell playing with an ankle monitor is still incredible.
It's really good. The Cavs blowing up their entire team did not deserve to be a 2 seed.
No.
So this the GM of the 76ers, also let's take this to its logical conclusion. Let's say he gets fired.
Okay.
Then where does this land? If the GM gets fired, listen to this sentence, okay? This isn't true yet, so this is hypothetical, but hear me out. Let's say that this becomes an actual sentence. After having a very good season and clearly exploding towards the future, the Philadelphia 76ers fire their general manager because he was tweeting mean things about his own players and other people in the league from his 5 burner Twitter accounts. That's not a 2 seed.
That's at least a 2 seed.
It's at least a 2
it's
seed.
It's at least a 2 seed.
If he doesn't get fired, it's a 2 seed.
Okay, so Kawhi fighting with the Spurs
is a 2 seed
is a
also.
2, but that should go up to a 1 now, I think.
Over what? See?
I know.
You say bleep like this and you don't think about it.
It feels like it should be a 1. It's just the question of what should it replace.
I don't think Fergie's National Anthem deserves to be a 1. Fair. I think that's way overseeded.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that one, even though it was incredible. Eric Bledsoe says, I don't want to be here. No, I was actually just at a barber. I was like at a hair
yes!
salon or something.
Yes.
It's really good too, though.
It's really good.
We can drop Cavs being blowing up their entire team, right? That's not
Yeah, that wasn't that surprising.
Okay. And then I'll fight forever for Rockets Clippers.
No, that one's very good.
That one was incredible.
That's very good.
Just the visuals of that were the best part. Just the visual images you'd get from just thinking them like Mission Impossible sneaking into a tunnel.
I know that the KCP played with an ankle monitor is really big for you.
It's really funny.
It's going up against the 11 seed of Phil Jackson makes Dennis Smith eat octopus. Which is, like, so good.
Yes, but we don't have the visual image of that.
We have
photos of KCP playing with an ankle monitor.
Jordan Clarkson thinks people used to own dinosaurs.
That was good. There's a lot of good stuff here.
Donald Trump uninvited Steph Curry from the White House. That was pretty good. And Kobe won an Oscar.
LeVar Ball wants to start a basketball league.
Well, yeah, whatever happened to that?
I don't know.
Joel Embiid's Instagram locations were all really stupendous. Someone stole Charlie Villanueva's toilet. The brief LeBron to the Warriors rumor.
That was, yeah.
Can we have that happen? Can we just have that happen next, can we have that happen next year and just sort of let the world burn?
No. I mean, that would get rid of Cavs-Warriors finals.
If LeBron joins the Warriors, do the Warriors win 80 games?
Probably.
Your starting five is LeBron, Durant, Curry, Clay. And does that
Draymond.
For and Draymond?
I mean, they'd have to do something. There's no way they'd afford all 5 of those.
Shh.
Just the hypothetical, theoretical
LeBron,
situation of
Curry,
all 5 of those.
Durant, Clay, Draymond, starting 5. None of them are hurt for more than, let's say, like 10 games. Does that team win 80 games?
75 or more for sure.
Probably. I want 80. The line is 80.
I don't know.
Kobe got two jerseys retired.
And an Oscar.
Oh, yeah. Also, Blake Griffin got traded to Detroit.
That was, gosh, that was so weird.
And that's a 6 seed. Excuse me. Hoodie Mello.
And as Cantor feuding with the Turkish president.
Oh, yeah. The dictator thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so good. All right, we got to take a break. We might just do more of this for the rest of the show. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Got to be gone by 5:45 to keep the trains moving here at ESPN Kansas City. We're conductors. We're conductors. Choo-choo, mother bleeper.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
I got distracted by having new music in the system. I put this in over the weekend, and I heard it. I was like, wait a second, this is new. I'm not prepared to start talking because I didn't expect the music. It was instrumental from Deadpool 2. I would rap the Lil Pump part along with it, but the radio station would have to go off air. The instrumental is filthy, though. It's solid work by Diplo, which is who made the beat. Okay. You enjoyed Deadpool 2, right, Beards?
Yeah, it was good.
All right, slight Deadpool 2 spoilers alert, I guess. Nothing super heavy. Also, it's Deadpool, so, like, you're probably not the most concerned with the plot. I think I enjoyed it less than the first one.
Fair.
Still
good.
Still good. Still funny, still totally enjoyable. If we went and redid our superhero rankings again, I'd be curious to see where I would drop it in. But it didn't have the novelty of the first one, obviously. And it's still kind of refreshing to have a superhero movie that's willing to kind of resent its own format. Like, Infinity War is built up across 10 years of building the cinematic universe, and then will also be, like, leading into the next 10 years of the cinematic universe. Like, No, really. I mean, like, probably. It is so self-involved, because that's what you're, you know, building up to, whatever. It's one of the, like, it's like a pinnacle moment of the cinematic universe, and Deadpool is just here to bleep on everything you love. And I think that's kind of fun. I still enjoy it for that. It actively resents the self-reverential, like, self-important, self-aggrandizing format of a superhero movie. It actively breaks that up. And I think I still enjoyed it for that reason. I haven't seen Solo yet. I hope to see that soon. I also am eating a Japanese candy right now. We started a new season of Take Tests on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page. And we started today with some soda-flavored candies of different sort, including one that is apparently the flavor of a Japanese energy drink. And I enjoyed that one. So I popped one in during the break, but I overestimated how long it would take to eat it.
Oh, yeah.
So I still have, like, a sliver of it left. And there, I can't really... There you go. On PTI right now, it says, can the Cavs win without love? And really,
can the Cavs win?
Hey, Beards, get the hell away from my joke, would you please?
I'm over here.
They're talking on PTI. The graphic says, well, can the Cavs win without love? And really, can any of us win without love?
Boo.
I think what you meant to do was have a standing ovation there.
Boo.
That's not what an ovation is. Apparently, by the way, this story can get weirder. There's a tweet here. I lost it. Bleep, bleep it. Hold on. There we go. Jordan Schultz at Schultz_report tweeted, Brian Colangelo tells me via text, someone's out to get me, ... This is clearly not me. Colangelo adds that he's, quote, hopeful to resolve this soon. Can you imagine if this whole thing is a giant conspiracy to bring down Brian Colangelo? What if Sam Hinkie set all these up? What if these are all Hinkie tweets?
That would be funny.
That'd be amazing. That'd be the best NBA story ever. The only way the story gets weirder is if it's actually not Brian Colangelo. I don't... Listen, again, the evidence in the Ringer article probably wouldn't be enough to convict him in a court of law, but it seems to be pretty convincing, especially the part where the account was brought up to Colangelo in the Sixers front office, and then like the other four went private or whatever the number was there.
Three, I think. I think he talked about two of them.
Yeah, okay, so yes, you're right. The Ringer brought up two of them. Colangelo copped to having one of them, and then all five of them went private. Which is amazing. But what if there's something else there? What if the media guy actually did mention someone else? What if Sam Hinkie bugged the building before he got fired?
Like Pioli?
Yeah. And so he knew whenever, or maybe Hinkie was following the one that was Colangelo, and then Hinkie privated all five. There it is. Hinkie saw the Colangelo's actual burner that wasn't problematic, went private, and then Hinkie privated all of them. Although, they apparently all, whenever you try to go and reset their password, someone went and looked, and all of them send a confirmation code to a phone number ending in 91. So, that's also incriminating.
What if these are all set up by LeBron's agency? I mean, the agency that his friend owns, so that they can get Colangelo fired, and then LeBron can be the GM of the Sixers.
That's pretty
player
good.
Player GM.
I like that.
And then he's going to trade everybody and bring in Carmelo and Wade and Chris Paul.
I don't like that as much. Like, is it possible that someone is just trying to get... is trying to get Colangelo? From Grizzly64. That seems more likely that an old man got caught doing stuff with newfangled technology than a conspiracy to take him down. Absolutely. That is 100% more likely. But is that what's actually true? Maybe not. Which is, again, amazing.
He's 52. He's not, like, super old.
Also true.
Like, Bob Ryan can use Twitter, and Bob Ryan's 1,000.
But can Bob Ryan use 5 Twitters? See, there's a difference. Also, like, didn't Steve Kerr say something about James Harden that's supposed to be a DM?
Yeah.
Do you remember what he said about James Harden?
No.
It doesn't really
that
matter.
That was on the little bracket, though.
Oh, okay. It doesn't really matter. But using one Twitter is different than using 5 different ones, and being able to use 5 different ones in a way that doesn't allow them to be connected. That's next level. That is difficult.
See, this feels like something that Jerry Colangelo would totally be in on.
I like that. Oh, we have comments here on the Facebook page. Let's see if I can open these up. Why am I so far down in the video today, Beards?
You're slouching a little.
I'm leaning back, but not that much. If I sit up straight, this is still...
Okay, then tilt it down a little.
Is that better?
Now you're cutting your hair off.
No!
My pride and joy.
How about now?
That's better. That works.
Juan says, did you see that Mahomes made national ESPN on NFL Live? I did not see that. That's exciting. Wade says, all hail Mahomes. Long live Mahomes. Thank you, Wade. Jay says, the lamest story in the NBA this year is Cavs Warriors in the finals again. I don't know if I think that's lame or not. I enjoy watching both of those teams, but this year's probably going to be less interesting than the last 3 times. And we may talk about Yoko Azubuki next segment here a little bit. Jay said, Fergie's anthem stunt got me banned off Facebook for 7 days because of a comment I made. What did Jay say about Fergie's national anthem that got him banned from Facebook for a week?
You know, I thought it was a really good rendition of the national
Boom!
Anthem.
Banned 7 days. Sam said one of the numbers didn't end in 9-1. That's interesting. I did not know that. Interesting. Good to know. Everyone take a break. Whenever we come back, we'll talk about Yudo Kazabuki or something else that we find during the commercial break, because that's how we do things around here.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
With Joshua Briscoe.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
On ESPN Kansas City.
It's the best PSA of all time. It's just so funny. Go ahead, Beard. Do it.
Do what?
Do the slug.
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
One more time, right up on that mic.
I'm your sense of adventure.
Mom took me out to the forest like a year ago.
Steven, I'm a banana slug. I don't have rocket engines.
Are we doing the director's cut now? You want to see the director's cut of this? Oh, no. Beers.
Oh, no.
Oh, the microphone's falling apart.
Ah.
Oh, that's not where this piece is supposed to be. This is supposed to be holding these things. Oh, no. Steven. Steven. I'm a banana slug, Steven. Do we have, a hammer or some pliers?
Anything's a hammer if you use it correctly.
Isn't there a phrase like when you're a hammer, everything's a nail?
No. I don't know.
I think that's a thing. Oh, man.
That was just a piece of advice from my physics teacher once.
That's not true, though. If you use a styrofoam cup full of water.
Sure, you can use it as a hammer.
I can't. No, I can't.
Fill it with a bunch of rocks, then you can use it as a hammer.
I just scuffed up some scissors.
You mean a hammer?
I hate you. Oh, I did get it lined up again.
Yay.
Part way. Oh, man. Our equipment in here is not good. Oh, this piece might be in backwards. Oh, wait. Okay,
oh,
we're
going to. That's not
good. We're going to leave it there for now. My headphone jack is very touchy, and the microphone's falling apart. What?
Bleach Report. Colangelo denies burner accounts. Quote, somebody's out to get me. This is clearly not me. Hopeful to resolve this soon.
Crazy that you would gasp at that thing that I read out loud last segment.
Damn it.
You read that and gasped like you just got a pony for Christmas. And I read that last segment.
I'm a banana slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get back to that point. So Yudoka's coming back.
Yudo Kazabuki stunning no one is coming back to Kansas. This is good for Kansas.
A little stunning.
It's not stunning.
Surprising.
It's not at all stunning. It's not even surprising. I'm not surprised. I expected them to come back. Thought it made sense for him to test the market and to just sort of get some NBA feedback and everything, but I never thought he would actually go this year.
Well, I wasn't going to say I don't think he'd get drafted. I didn't think he'd be like a first round
right
pick.
And, you know. You could have made sense by saying, you know what, go get that NBA coaching and get a little bit of money while you're doing it, or stay at Kansas and get Bill Self coaching and maybe get a little bit of money while you're doing it. Uh-oh, hello, Adidas joke. I didn't expect him to go to the NBA. I expected him to stay for another year here at Kansas. I'm not surprised he's coming back. It's great for Kansas.
Yes.
Sylvia DeSosa might have a little bit of a question mark still because his name has come up in recent months of just sort of like, ooh, what exactly is going on in Kansas? But if he sticks around and everything works out there, then a front court of Yudoka Azubuki and and Sylvia DeSosa, and then all these new guys they're bringing in, like the Lawson brothers, and there's going to be a ton of talent on this Kansas team. It's going to be really interesting because this Kansas team is going to be largely made up of newbies. They lost their three, I think, top scorers last year, and like four or five, something like that. So it's going to be interesting, but this is a great bit of consistency for a Kansas team that's not going to have a ton of consistency. I mentioned earlier last night the Royals gave me the greatest gift of all time, which was after a 30-minute rain delay and then five extra innings, they mercifully saved us from going into another rain delay deep into extra innings when LCD's Escobar hit a walk-off home run that changed my life. But now LCD's Escobar is batting second today. Leading off today is designated hitter John Jay, which is one of my least favorite sentences in the English language. Leading off designated, and listen, I know John Jay's gotten on base the last like 1,000 at bats. Designated hitter John Jay is not terrible. Someone on Twitter pointed out that the Royals have four number nine hitters. Randy Jazzarelli. So today the Royals have four number nine hitters in the lineup today. And they do. Here's six through nine. Alex Gordon, Hunter Dozier, Ryan Goins, Abraham Almonte. As Brad Keller gets the start. Maybe make other plans this evening.
I'm going to go see Solo.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're playing Dungeons & Dragons today. I think my friend group's doing that. All right, next segment we're going to... I'll set up a little bit when we get there. But we're going to talk Chiefs. And it's a conversation that I had last night, but it is a really stupendous conversation. Matt Lane, new addition to Arrowhead Pride, broke down Eric Fisher and did a fantastic film review and then did a fantastic job of explaining it on the radio. So if you missed that last night, stick around and we will get you all of that here in a couple minutes on the other side of this commercial break. And please, like, listen to the commercials. Maybe you'll hear from a banana slug.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.